I am so happy to see you, all of you here, back again. You know, it is our Holy Communion week where we all come together to get connected with the Lord, but also to be connected with one another once again. Now, today is a little bit special because we have Pastor Bill Wilson, who many of us are quite familiar with. He's been a friend of the church for a long time. But he'll be coming and he'll be bringing his message and bringing his updates for us. And Pastor Bill Wilson, for those of you who do not know him, it's one of a kind, right? He's a one of a kind. He's got a story like no other. I've heard it so many times, and it kind of gets you every time you hear it, right? On top of that, he's been stabbed, shot, had so many accidents. You know, it's a wonder that he's still alive and walking. 74 years old, and he's just been, he was involved in the negotiation for the release of the missionaries that were kidnapped in Haiti. Some of you may remember that news. He's just been twice in Ukraine to help move some of these women and children out of Ukraine. So it is, of course, my great pleasure to have Pastor Bill Wilson bring the word today. But before we do that, before we welcome him, he has a video. So I ask you to turn your attention as we watch this video.
Mountain I must climb, feels like the world upon my shoulder. Through the clouds I see love shine, it keeps me warm as life grows colder. In my life there's been heartache and pain.
You know, Pastor Bill Wilson has many things. He's a missionary, he's a preacher, teacher. You know, he's also crazy. It's good to have people like that sometimes. We need that. He's pastor of arguably the largest Sunday school in the world. But more than anything else, he's got a friend. And I often told him that, you know, Kus has got your back. And we mean it. We do have your back. Just let us know. So, church, would you help me put your hands together? Welcome the one and only Pastor Bill Wilson.
Come on, give the Lord a praise. Come on. Give God a praise. Sunday morning. Look at the person next to you. Just smack them in the arm. Say, I'm glad you're here. You guys don't do that over here, do you? Don't make me come out there. Hey, it's good to be back. I would echo to what Pastor's saying. It's nice when God's people come back in the house. Very, very, very important. Very important. So This is the third message, different messages. Different message from last night, different message that I preached this morning. But I want to end on a different note. And I think I tried to communicate it in the other two services of how much this church means to me. And it's not because I'm the guest speaker, and it's not because I'm just here today, or you think I say that every place I go. It's not the case, folks. This is my over 50 years of being in ministry, being around a lot of churches, a lot of different people. But I'll say it as much as I can. When you travel as much as I do, you're in different places every week. And I've had a lot of preachers tell me a lot of things. I've heard all kinds of things in 50 years, as you guys can imagine. But when this man right here told me that he's got me, whether I'm in Ukraine, we're getting ready to go to Africa, which I'm going to talk to you about again in a minute. But I hope all of you know, besides a great pastor, great man of God, I want you to know that I feel like this man is one of my greatest friends. And I thank you, sir. I say that. Give God a praise for the man of God. Come on. Come on. It's important, folks. It's important. Well, I have done my best over these years, almost 15 years now, that I've been coming back here and have tried to let you folks know what you're a part of, get you updated on what's going on with Metro World Child around the world. But I feel like this trip, particularly after pandemic, I preached a message here, probably been at least 10 years ago. The title of the message was, "The Miracle Was Not in the Miracle." Unusual title, was an unusual message. But I'm going to talk today about the miracle that was in the middle. The miracle in the middle. When I've got a couple of things I want to walk you through, because we're going to be out after the service, after the meeting there. But before we get into all this and the message, I had a pastor send me a video. He said, with all the stuff that you've been through, like Pastor was telling you in the introduction, and all this stuff, he said, it seems like you've been in the middle of a situation, in the middle of a mess, all your life. I said, well, I didn't plan it that way. It just kind of went that way. He said, but I've got a video that I want to dedicate to you. So I thought, okay, because it's good. I knew the pastor for a while. And he said, no, this video, I dedicate it to you. And so I had never seen it. So then I looked at it. I thought, well, maybe I ought to dedicate that video to the message that I'm going to preach, because for some of you that have got through the middle of this mess called a pandemic, then you'll understand. I think you'll understand this last message I want to give to you today. But guys, I think we've got another little video there that maybe can encourage us, and then we'll talk about it. If we can roll that one, it's the one I think we set up, the mouse video, I believe we had, I think. Oh, that's it. There he is.
Such a feeling's coming.
Bring up the volume a little, please. There you go. Okay.
There is wonder in most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky. Got the sun in my eyes. And I won't be surprised if it's a dream. I'm on the top of the world.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans. The
that looked like us at pandemic. There you go, folks. I dedicate it to you. We all survived it. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. So when you felt like a mouse getting smacked in a trap, I get it. I understand. So I thought this was a good way to encourage you. We made it through it in Jesus' name by his grace. And it's been a tough time, but you know what? Greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. Amen? And I know you know that. I know you know it, and I know you believe it. A couple of things I want to talk to you about very quickly. The book, of course, Whose Child Is This? And I know all of you have seen it as all these years that have been here, 32 different languages, as I believe encouraged a lot of people, has made people look at themselves differently. There'll be several of them out there. If you'd like, get one of those. The other books, of course, Elephants of Relevance, most recent book. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all of these things because there's so many things to take a look at after we're done here, and of course we'll be taking the Lord's Supper. But one of the things I want you to understand, when you look at this at the back table, it's not just some little trinket that I have there. It was on my second trip to the Philippines that I saw some of the mothers of the kids from our Sunday school in the garbage dump, going through the garbage as the trucks were dumping it. And I asked one of our staff members, I said, what are they looking for? And I thought food. But he said, no. He said, they're looking for these magazines that have the glossy cover, because they take these magazine covers, wet them, cut them up into strips like that, and make these beads, and then put these bracelets and necklaces together, sell them on the street in Manila in the Philippines, and that's how they feed their families. And when I saw those ladies doing that, I thought, I need to get these, take them back to America, which I have. Then I started bringing them with me everywhere I went. So you will see these on the table. We call them products of purpose. And there's no set price for this. It's just whatever you want to give. But I would encourage you to give them as a gift, as a prayer reminder. Several of these moms, by putting these together and making them available to Christians all over the world, it's giving folks an opportunity to pray for the kids, pray for those families. A lot of these mothers, by putting these together, have put their school kids, moving them up to do things that they never thought they could. So I wanted you to understand what these were, whether you kind of just look and go, what is this? So some interesting things back there, obviously. But the most important thing, and I say this every time I'm with you folks, but it is still the most important thing that you will see on the tables. You will see these pictures. These are not pictures from a magazine. These are pictures of the kids that we have committed our lives to, literally, for all these years. I've got kids from the Philippines that you can sponsor today. We've got kids from Metro Kenya. And I was talking to the folks in the first service that the Lord has opened some amazing, amazing doors for us. That was my message in the last service. God has opened some extraordinary doors. Governments have asked us to come to their city. Governments have asked us to come to their nation. Zimbabwe, Zambia, Burundi, a little on the south in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We'll be going to Lagos. I'll be going to Lagos myself to start Metro Sunday School in the bay, where there's floating houses there in that bay there with Lagos. And yet, the invitations that we have had did not come from church people. They did not come from the Christian community. The doors of opportunity that are opening to us in an extraordinary way are coming from governments, not Christian people, but have seen what Metro has done in the lives of children and families that are making a difference all over the world. It's important that all of you understand exactly what you are a part of. When I come here and send updates and give you opportunities to sponsor a child, you know, when my mother left me on a street corner when I was a little boy, I sat there for 3 days. Most of you know the story. But after sitting on that corner without food or water for those 3 days, the only person that stopped for me was an ordinary Christian. He got me some food and water, sponsored me to a Sunday school camp where I heard the story of Jesus for the first time. And my life was put on a totally different trajectory of how it was destined to go. I could talk to you about my testimony for hours, to tell you what it was like for me, sitting on that corner, knowing that my mother didn't want me anymore, knowing as a little 12-year-old boy, knowing that she just didn't want me. And yet, here I am with you folks on the other side of the world, talking about the goodness of God, sharing opportunities that God has given to us to bring the gospel, to start Metro Sunday schools, and now these other countries, they're in Africa. It's an amazing time, folks, but I need you to know that where I go, and as I'm doing all these things, just come back from Ukraine, you have gone with me. I am your missionary. And I take that very seriously, very seriously. I represent this church, and I represent each one of you. Many of you won't have the opportunity to go to the places where I go. And yet, you are going. Because where I go, what we do, where these Sunday schools are being started, much of what has happened in so many parts of the world is because many of you have made a decision not just to pray for me, although I know many of you do, that not just to step up and do some things that maybe you think, boy, I'd love to do that, but I was telling the folks, please come with us next March. We're going to be taking 40 people from Singapore. Go with me to the garbage dump. Go with me to the cemetery where the kids live. If you want to sponsor one of the kids from the Philippines after the service, come with me in March. Visit your sponsor child. It's this unique time, folks, coming out of COVID and now saying, Lord, what now? What now? What next? Our campaign this year from New York has been called the Nehemiahs for the Nations. When Nehemiah made that decision to rebuild the wall, wasn't easy, but he knew it needed to be done. You folks have been Nehemiahs for a generation of children, that we're trying to rebuild some lives, build some areas of the world. And we thank you, and we thank you. So we will have these pictures. Our team will be out there. It's $45 a month. You can be as involved in the life of your sponsor child as you'd like to be. We had a businessman said, I want to sponsor 10 kids from my business to make a difference in their life. So there's all kinds of opportunities. But as always, Pastor, thanks. Thank you for allowing me to share this as you have for all these years. And thanks. Thank you, folks. Thank you. And when I tell you thank you, we did a Facebook post on that a couple weeks ago. I am a very grateful man. I'm very grateful. With all the struggles, I've been shot twice. Most of you know that. All of the stabbings and fights, the thing we did for the missionaries, and the stories, more than what we could go in one service. But when you pray, I know you're serious. Many of you in the other services have come out and shook my hand and just said, we're with you, Pastor Bill. We're with the team from Metro World Child to make a difference. And for that, I think we're all the little mighty mouse. Amen? In Jesus' name. So I want you to get your Bible out. I want to speak to you for a few moments. I talked about the other message I brought years ago. The miracle was not in the miracle. I enjoy talking about miracles. I am uniquely qualified to talk about the miraculous. Some of you I know have heard me tell the story about how I got hit with the brick in New York City, in my eye. I was blind for several months. God extraordinarily healed me overnight. I was blind in this eye, completely blind. God healed me. It's an extraordinary miracle. I'm uniquely qualified after 50 years of ministry, praying for people all over the world, believing for the miraculous. I'm qualified to talk about the miraculous. But the message today is not the miracle that I talked about last time I was here. But in these last few moments that I have with you, I want to talk about the miracle that was in the middle. The miracle that was in the middle. This book of Matthew, and for those of you that are lovers of the Word of God, and I trust that all of you are, that 26th chapter of Matthew. There's so much meat there. There's so much truth there. But I want to just take a little bit and bring it to your attention today, because I think most of us, myself included, would have said these last 2 years that so often we felt like we were in the middle of a mess. When the pandemic hit in New York City, most of you know that was, it was the epicenter of the pandemic, at least in the United States. It was a very difficult time, very difficult. I was asked by hospital personnel to come and pray with the doctors, pray with the nurses, pray with the patients. I had to have all the PPE gear on, where in New York, the hospitals would not even allow family members to go and visit their loved ones sick in the hospital. And yet, the opportunity came to me to go in and minister to the medical staff, to the patients. And as I was walking through the hospital, not far from where our center is in New York City, seeing things, seeing the look of despair, the doctors working 20, sometimes 24-hour shifts. It was a tough time. They were in the middle of a situation, like many of you have been in the last couple of years. I understand it, folks. I saw it. I lived it as well. Watching people in the middle. We just started a Chinese church in New York. It's a lot of Chinese people from mainland that have moved in to where we are there in Brooklyn. And many of them weren't able to get food. The clothes, the stores were closed. It was just, they were in the middle of a situation that they didn't know what to do. We had a food line every week. We had these people that came in, Americans, Asians, Latin American people. They were all in the middle of a situation that nobody knew what was going to happen. How were they going to get through it? Would they get through it? It was tough times. They were in the middle of a situation. And yet, as I was in Ukraine, looking at these little girls that had been raped by the Russian army, and the Russians made the mothers of these little tiny girls watch while they raped them in front of their mothers. I was brought in by the United States Army to work with the Ukrainian Army to try to counsel these little girls, to counsel the mothers. Put them on two buses, drove 32 hours across the entire country of Ukraine, and get these people, these little kids that have been ripped to pieces by these Russian soldiers. We got them to the hospital in Warsaw. With one little girl, I can't even begin to tell you what they did to her. I can't. She was in the middle of a bad situation. And when I was leaving Warsaw to go back to JFK Airport in New York, she just had her face against the glass waving to me as I left to the airport for Warsaw. I tried to be an encouragement to her, her mother, and the other 50 families that we put on the buses to get them out of that mess. They're in the middle of probably would be one of the most toughest times of their life. In the middle of a situation, in the middle of a mess, in the middle of something. And yet, all of us, because of what's happened in these last 2 years, if we were honest, most of us would say, yeah, felt like I was in the middle too. So I want you to look with me for just a couple of minutes in the book of Matthew, chapter 26. And I want you to listen as I read at the 36th verse. It said, then Jesus came with them unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. What does all this mean for you and I today? I believe the Lord helped me to see something, and I want to share it with you in these last few moments. When Jesus started his ministry, in the beginning, there over by Gilgal, and he was dealing with the devil, where the devil was trying to set him up, trying to tempt him. And yet, Jesus said, yeah, I got it. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus stepped up, knew what needed to be done, and did what he knew his Father had commissioned him to do. But then, in Golgotha, as his ministry and life was coming to a close, what was the difference? He comes to the end, the thieves on both sides, cursing, and you know the story. And yet, it was in the end of his life that you would think Jesus would be struggling. And yet, as he was putting out his hands, he said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing." Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't miss this. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, over by Gilgal, even in the fight, in the struggle, dealing straight up with the devil, Jesus was fine. He knew who he was. He knew what his role was. He knew what his purpose was. In the beginning, whatever came at him, he was good. Even at the end of his life, in Golgotha, as tough as that was, he was saying, "Forgive them." But now, he wasn't at the beginning of his ministry over in Gilgal. He was good. Even at the end of his life, Golgotha, he knew it was his time. But now, in this 26th chapter of Matthew, he's not in Gilgal, and he's not in Golgotha. Where is he? He's in Gethsemane. Don't miss this, folks, in Jesus' name. Don't miss it. And this is why, if there was a working title for this message, the title would have to be, "The Miracle Was in the Middle." The miracle was in the middle. Not at the beginning, not at the end, but everybody in this room is going to come to a middle place in your life, and you're going to be asking yourself some pretty tough questions. So let's look at it and see. Look at verse 40 in that 26th chapter. "And he comes to the disciples and finds them asleep. He says to Peter, 'What? Could you not walk with me and watch with me for 1 hour?'" What's happening here? Let me walk you through this the best way I can. Jesus is in the middle of a situation that he felt like his friends did not understand, which they did not. He was not hearing from his friends. He was not hearing from God. And yet now, in the middle, in Gethsemane, the place of depressing, because all of you have felt like you were pressed for these last couple of years. I understand, folks. I get it. And so now we've got the disciples, and they're it's amazing to me that how, after seeing what Jesus was capable of, how he ministered, the miraculous, and now Jesus is asking them, "Can you just pray with me for 1 hour? You know the story, or do you?" I don't know. Let's take a look at it. Watch, pray. And yet the disciples were asleep. Doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? Didn't for me. I don't think it made a whole lot of sense to Jesus. I understand how people can get started. I can understand at my age how people look at the last season of their life differently. But now Jesus is struggling. It doesn't make sense. Even to some theologians, at the start of the ministry, he was struggling, not with the devil, victorious, coming at the end of his life at the cross. But there was that one point in the middle, Gethsemane, that middle, the miracle. Something was about to happen. Jesus, why was Jesus struggling so much in the middle? Why was he struggling in Gethsemane? Because you know that he knew how his story was going to end. He knew how his life was going to end. But it doesn't matter. Because when you're in the middle, whether it's you or Jesus, when you're pressed on every hand, pushed, pressed, struggling, because we will all be there, as many of us have been these last couple of years. But this is Jesus. And as I was looking at this thinking, every one of us, listen to me, every one of us will be at a point in the middle of a situation at some point in your life. And he comes to the disciples in verse 40. He finds them asleep. But now look at verse 42. And Jesus went away again, the second time, and prayed. Now he's praying to the Father. Now watch how this whole scenario plays out. See if this makes sense to you. Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he found them asleep again. Lord, help us to understand this. So now the disciples are asleep. They don't get it. They don't understand the pressing, the pushing, the weight of the heart of Jesus, knowing he's getting ready to die on the cross, knowing what needed to be done for all of our sins. And he's trying to get the disciples to understand, and they're asleep. And then Jesus is praying to his Father, if it's possible, this cup pass. So now the disciples are asleep. They don't get it. So Jesus isn't hearing from his friends. They're asleep. And he's not hearing from his Father. What's going on here? There's a truth here, folks, that seems to elude an awful lot of people. So follow me. Verse 43, he found them asleep again. Again in verse 43. For their eyes were heavy. Now look at this. Go down to verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Wait a minute. Third time. It says he's praying the same prayer. How many of you, some of you younger people may not understand this, but some of you older folks will. If you've lived long enough, you'll know exactly what I'm getting ready to say. Have you ever been pressed at a time in your life when you prayed and you prayed? You say, God, please answer my prayer. God, please do something. Please do a miracle in my life. And it doesn't seem like God's listening. It seems like your friends in your cell group who said they were going to be there, and now they're not answering the phone either. Do you understand what's happening here to Jesus? Not at Gilgal in the beginning of his ministry, not in Golgotha at the end, but in the middle, in Gethsemane, the place of depressing, where the grapes were crushed, where Jesus was crushed. I preached a message years ago. The title of that message was, Jesus Didn't Die on the Cross. I gave the message, and people were shocked when I said, Jesus didn't die on the cross. He's gone off the deep end. No, because, see, yeah, you have to understand, Jesus died to himself in Gethsemane. I'll say it again. Something happened in Gethsemane, in the garden. Something happened. Disciples are asleep. He's not hearing from the Father. He goes to third, and he's praying. Have you prayed the same prayer over and over again? Have you cried so much that you have no tears left? Have you? You will someday. You will someday. When I looked at that little girl, when I left her at the hospital in Warsaw, and what? And what? And what? Jesus prays the same prayer over and over again. But now, look at this, and maybe you've never seen this before, so maybe it'll bless you today. Look at verse 45. In that 26th chapter. And then he comes to the disciples and says, here it is. Something happened, my friends, between verse 44 and 45. I would love to be able to translate this better than I think I can, but I believe the Holy Spirit will open your eyes for this. Because disciples are asleep. He's not hearing the voice of God. And now he's praying the same prayer over and over. And now something happens. So I'm asking you, when you're in the garden, when you're in the middle, here it is. What happened between verse 44 and verse 45? Here's the answer, and here it is for you. And then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, just go to sleep. Get your rest. What just happened between those two verses? I'll tell you exactly what happened. Jesus came to the place in the garden, in the miracle, in the middle, where he realized that he did not need who he thought he needed. His disciples were asleep. He said, take your rest, go to sleep. He didn't need what he thought he needed. He wasn't depending on those other people. But something happened there. What happened? Tell you exactly what. He realized that God's grace was sufficient for him. So I throw this out to you today so you understand. You will be in the garden someday. Someday. Some of you felt like maybe you were in the garden these last couple of years. I understand that. And Jesus was fine. He was fine because he knew God's grace was sufficient for him. And isn't it interesting that when Mary, over in John chapter 20, that saw Jesus in his resurrected body, after all this, and she saw Jesus in his resurrected body, and it's in that 20th chapter, I believe it's the 15th verse, when she said, I didn't recognize you. Why did she not recognize Jesus when she knew him so well? She said, I thought you were the gardener. I thought you were the gardener. Maybe Jesus had spent just enough time in the Garden of Gethsemane that now when he was, God, when people saw him after the resurrection, something had changed. Something had happened. His purpose of life, his destiny was sealed. She said, I thought you were the gardener. I thought you were the gardener. I guess he looked enough like a gardener and been affected so much by the garden experience like I had. I'll finish as I have these other services by showing you this video shot from Ukraine of a soldier standing guard of a little boy that was shelled by the Russians. The house fell in on him. And you'll watch as the medics pulled the little boy out of the house trying to save his life. But you'll see in the video, in the shadow, the soldier, the Ukrainian soldier with his rifle at his side. These soldiers aren't trained to stay around if a little child is hurt or killed. It's just something that some people don't have to be trained how to do. They just have it. They care. They stand guard. They're standing guard. You'll see the soldier. Watch him as he's watching the medics trying to save the child. The child died. But even as the medics picked the dead child up to put him in the ambulance, the soldier never left. I watched it. He stood guard. He stood guard. Even though the little boy was killed, and until he was driven away by the ambulance. I understand what the miracle in the middle looks like. I understand it, and I think some of you as well. And as you watch this video, my prayer for this last service was simple. Is that somehow today, in all the things that we've all dealt with these last couple of years, that for you, you understand God's grace is sufficient still for you and I. Roll that video, please. Standing guard for the grace of God. She was trying to explain. She said she had just put the boy in the back room and a shell had hit the front of the house and the back of the house, and the whole thing fell in on the little one. And the rescue crews came in, they pulled him out of the rubble, laid him on the ground, and the medics are trying to resuscitate him. And then there's a soldier standing there, and you can see him. You can see in the shadow, he's holding his rifle, and he's standing over the boy while the medics are trying to save him. And there's a word in Ukrainian, zasnik. It means defender. There's something about some of these guys, when there's a little boy, little girl that's been shot or killed, they stand there, and the medics are working on the kid. They're guarding. It's that zasnik. This little guy didn't make it. But still, because they were putting him in the ambulance, and he's done. But the soldier still stayed. And he stayed guard. Stand guard on this little dead boy. I've spent my whole life to try to be a guardian. I've been trying to stand guard to kids all over the world, trying to do the best that I can after all these years to stand guard. I'm trying to stand guard for those. Maybe some make it, some don't. But somebody has to stand guard. So I thank you for allowing me to stand guard, for allowing me to be your missionary, to stand in the middle in some tough times, tough situations. But by the grace of God, we go to Africa, going back to Ukraine. The miracle was in the middle. So, Father, I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Your grace has brought me safe thus far. And your grace will lead me home. I appreciate you guys. God bless you.